with you all this morning. Thankful to be gathered together again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. We just thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Help us have ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord, and the courage, Father, to wait on you, Lord. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk this morning about judgment, kind of the difference between that and wisdom. There is a little bit of difference, but just making right judgments. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm chapter 18 in the Apocrypha, Psalm 19 in the King James. I'm just going to read the whole chapter, I think. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows the creation of his hands." That's just, Hans was talking about, you know, just maybe taking time. And this is one thing that that does us well to remember. You know, sometimes we just say it and take it for granted, but the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows the creation of his hands. You know, if we believe, I think whenever, you know, one of the things school has, modern school and the modern education has done is taken God out of everything, you know, and men have become so wise that they don't have a creator. They just evolved into something and there's no creator. And when a man loses that, idea that they're created and that there is a God that did all this, you know, whenever we lose that, we just lose touch with everything. You know, most of the religions even have that aspect. So that's something to build on. You know, if we don't believe we were created, there's nothing at all to build on. If we don't believe that there's a God that created all this, there's no judgment to build on. There's no foundation at all. But when we know that there is something bigger than ourselves, you know, like I said, almost all religion covers that, you know, that there is the Indians even had a great spirit they understood that was above them and over them and in control of all things. And that just even helps, I mean, just that start, you know, we can build on that. And as we move forward in seeking him and finding him, you know, we have a lot to build on there. I often thought of, you know, the Aristotle and all the wise men of old. You know, there was a lot of wisdom in their writings. That there was a lot of goodness in there, and they had a good foundation. Day to day, utter speech. There again, day to day, utter speech. If we'll hear it. You know, we get so caught up day to day that we don't even take the time. But God is trying to tell us something every day. And he's trying to show us. And it's all around us if we're just in tune to that and if we're willing to hear it. And night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voices are not heard. God is trying to reach out to everyone. No speech or language that God isn't trying to talk to. You know, a lot of times when we think of speech, we think of something that we understand. But God is bigger than that, and He can teach His lessons to people no matter what language we speak, or no matter what voice we have. Yeah, there's times that God spoke to people using the voice of a donkey, you know, and He just isn't limited to all those things. He can teach us through the simplest things if we're willing to listen, if we take the time to listen. Their proclamation went forth into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In the sun, he set his tabernacle, and it rejoices exceedingly. Like a bridegroom coming forth from his bridal chamber, like a strong man to run a race. It's rising from one end of heaven, and the circuit runs to the other end, and nothing shall be hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is blameless, converting the souls. God's ways, what God is trying to show us, there's no fault in it. And it's that converts our souls. Bible, you know, it's the word of the Lord that converts us. And, you know, I believe people can be converted without ever even seeing a Bible. Just hearing, you know, the things that of God and the truths. If someone's seeking for that and they're listening for that, they're walking in the light that they have. They can understand all these things. It's this word of the Lord that converts our souls. And we can speak that word. We can live that word without just having a Bible in our hand even. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making children wise. Here is the wisdom. The testimony of the Lord. The things that we know about the Lord, things that we hear about the Lord. I've said before, you know, there's a lot of people that say they believe the Bible. And, you know, this is every word of it, every jot. There's not one thing that's in error in it. But that's not what he's saying here. That's not what he's talking about. This book is just an instrument. And I've said it before that the thing that inspires me the most about this word is not the history of how it was found, but the things that it's saying has wisdom. The things that it brings out when it tells about Jesus and the way he lived, it was right, it's true and good. And it takes wisdom to understand that. It takes judgment to understand that it's more than just a written down set of rules. It's God speaking from heaven today, just like he did back then. It talked here about the sun going from one end. The sun is still shining. The sun is still making its path around the world every day. As we know, God is still in charge. And God is still speaking to man. And his word, the word of the Lord, is beautiful and still speaking to us if we have ears to hear. Like I said, there's a lot of people in history. You know, some people say, well, they talk about religion, and the atheists talk about, you know, well, every religion has some of these things. Or there's people that didn't have the Bible that were speaking these truths. And they think that's proof that it's all meaningless. But it just convinces me more than ever that there's people hearing this word of the Lord that's being spoken throughout the whole world, and they're in tune with it. And they can hear, and while they may not have it all written down just the right way, they understand the principles of it and the judgments of it and the truth of it, and they're applying it to their lives. It's a real blessing. That's what those men that they called the wise men, you know, that that had written a lot of the wise things that were going on in the earth, that they were living at the same time that the Jewish people had rejected God and were living in darkness. And God was finding people that would hear His truth, even during that time and throughout all times. The law of the Lord is blameless, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making children wise. The ordinance of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is bright, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring into ages of ages. That's us. It's all still available to us. The judgments of the Lord are true, being altogether just. Right there is what it's all about. You know, whenever we hear what the Lord says, He doesn't ask us, whenever He tells us His teachings, He gives us His instructions, He's not just making a set of rules or a set of laws to live by. He's instructing us in His ways. And His ways are just and right, enlightening the soul. You know, when Jesus tells us to turn the other cheek, for instance, it's to modern man or to man, it just sounds terrible. You know, that we would just let someone take advantage of us. But the ways of the Lord are enlightening. They help us rise above what modern man sees. And it's judgments that are greater than we could even imagine ourselves. It's the judgments of the Lord are true and altogether just. You know, James, in the book of James, it tells us about wisdom. It said, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and He will give it to him abundantly. That's been such a blessing to me. That's one of my favorite books. If you just pick one of the books out, just the practicality of Brother James, the man who walked with Jesus and saw Him and talked with Him and ate with Him and lived with Him. And he tells us, ask of God. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. And that's what he's talking about here, this whole verse, this chapter, that's talking about the judgments of the Lord and the wisdom. God will give it to us if we will just hear it and just listen. The judgments of the Lord are true and altogether just. More to be desired are they than gold and very precious stone, sweeter also than the honeycomb. For indeed your servant keeps them, and keeping them there is great reward. Who will understand his transgressions? Who will understand his transgressions? Who will understand your failings, my failings? Cleanse me from hidden sins. You know, we're not perfect. There's areas in our lives that we can't see. You know, and sometimes whenever we see a fault in others, you know, the first thing we want to try to do is point it out. But you know, the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, is true here in this sense. Is there's faults that you and I have, that it doesn't matter how many times we point them out to other people, until the person's ready to hear it and drink of it themselves, then we're just putting a wedge in between one another. So that's where judgment and wisdom comes in. There's things that we can say to people, and there's things that we're just wise not to say. We don't have to utter everything we know. You know, we hear people that learn something and they just got to tell everything they know. We've talked about, there's been young men that come and lived with us for a while, and they just study and study and study and study, and they find somebody, and then they just go vomit all this information out on somebody that'll listen to them. And we've just titled that religious bulimia. They just stuff themselves with Bible knowledge, or they stuff themselves with this, and they just find somebody and they corner them and vomit it out to them for 2 hours. That's not how you learn wisdom, and that's not how you teach anybody anything, any wisdom. You have judgment. You learn these things and you apply them to your life. You don't just stack them on you warehouse them. You don't warehouse wisdom. Wisdom and judgment are something that you use every day. And if you try to start saving it up or packing it up, it just is like the manna that they tried to keep over the extra. It bred worms and stank. And that's what this does. We are made to learn to live this life, not stack it all up and save it. This is a life to be lived. And that's what, you know, whenever Jesus talked about being the I Am, we are to be. He is the I Am. We are to be. To be what we're supposed to be. And that's something that we live out every day. And wisdom and judgment are something that are used every day in our life, and we live that way. It's not just something we get a little dab of wisdom. You know, a lot of times when we ask for wisdom, we'll go for a year and not even care about it. And then all of a sudden we need to make a decision, and we ask God for wisdom. And that's not how wisdom works. That's not how the Bible verse works. This is the way we live, in judgment and wisdom and understanding. And that's what he, you know, I think this is, you know, we look at religion. We look at people with the same book, the same moral ethics, and the same rules, as it were, of how to live. And then people can't get along, or they can't work with each other. And it just is a real ugly thing. You know, it's a real confusing thing to the world that there's so many people that say that this is their book and say that this Jesus is their Lord, and they say all the same rules and all the same things. But there's no fellowship. There's nothing together. There's one thing that's lacking in that. That's the wisdom of the Lord, the righteousness of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord. When you have that, then one can know whenever someone's not quite where they ought to be, and have patience with them, work with them, let them grow. But if you don't have that judgment, you don't have that patience and understanding and judgment. See, judgment and wisdom are something that's cultivated by living that way. And just like anything else, that wisdom takes patience, takes time for it to mature and grow. You know, I remember another young man, dear young men, have been a real blessing to us. And some of them have grown up and become men. But we've seen a lot of them that were just so zealous and so full of things. And, you know, one of them, he'd been with us for a while, and he was preaching to his mom. He'd come and live with us and during the week, and every once in a while he'd go back home and visit his mom, and he'd just preach to her and preach to her and preach to her. And he'd come and he'd say, "Boy, I really preached to my mom. I really told her about Jesus and the gospel." And he said, "Do you think I ought to call her and see?" And I said, "Well, I tell you what you need to do is you go out there and plant a piece of corn in the ground. You go put that in the ground. And if you think that you need to call her, you go dig that piece of corn up, see if it's sprouted yet." How's that going to work? Well, he said, well, if I pull the seed up, it'll die. I said, you just planted a seed for your mother. Are you going to go dig it up and look at it and see if it's grown anything? Or are you going to let it grow and let it be hidden under the ground to sprout? And then you can see it one of these days. You know, a leaf might sprout up. It's the same thing. Those principles are the same. Whenever we talk to someone about the Lord or we introduce something to someone, sometimes you just got to let the seed lay there a while. We're so quick to, well, I better put another seed in beside it. That doesn't work either. You know, you go plant something and then 2 weeks later go plant something else right beside it. Then another week later, you go plant something else beside it. What do you think you're going to have? Just a mess. A little bit of wisdom. A little bit of judgment. And like I said, judgment and wisdom, you know, whenever I make a decision, a lot of you get pretty frustrated with me. Because you'll ask me something and I'll just kind of hear you. And I'll think about it a while. And you'll ask again, well, I'm still thinking about it. I still don't know yet. You know, I tell people a lot of times, I just don't know. That doesn't mean I've sealed the book. That just means I don't know. And as we go along and something else is revealed, there might be another little idea that pops out. And a little longer, another one pops out. And then pretty soon, it's just clear as day. And seems like, well, I should have known that from the very beginning. But that's not the way it works sometimes. It just takes some time. You know, we get in a big hurry. There's another problem with time. We're in such a hurry. We want answers like the microwave does. Pop it in there and 15 seconds later you got popcorn, whatever it takes. That's not the way wisdom works. A lot of times wisdom works by failing. A lot of successful people wouldn't be successful if they hadn't failed a lot. Made a lot of mistakes because they learned them. And last week we talked about people making mistakes, and a wise person can look at someone else's mistakes and learn. They don't have to necessarily do that themselves. But they can take the time to find out someone else who failed and maybe learn along the way. This is all about judgment and wisdom. You know, I think a lot of times different groups that have the same Bible, the same doctrines, the same teachings, but can't get along, maybe have different goals. Maybe that's what it is. And like I said, I'm not saying I have the answers because I don't. I just wonder and just am confounded sometimes at why there isn't more fellowship with people who say they believe the same thing. And I think, and like I said, what I'm just thinking is maybe there's different goals. You know, I was with a group of brothers, and I appreciate them, but there was a conflict, and we were talking it out. The man just said, I just want to get to heaven. I can't listen to what you're telling me. He didn't say that part, but it came out that I just want to get to heaven. And I thought, you're not even willing to listen to something that's right in front of you. You're not even willing to make a different, you're not even willing to weigh the thing that's in front of you. Because your goal is to get to heaven. It's not about judgment. It's not about doing what's right. His goal was to get to heaven. God is trying to fit us into heaven. And He does that by giving us wisdom and judgment so that we can live the way we're supposed to, so that we will belong in the kingdom of God. If our only goal is to get to the kingdom of heaven, we will do anything it takes to get there. So that being what is right is not important anymore. It's just getting to the end goal. That's all that matters. You know, we in the political realm, we see people that one day they believe one thing, and 2 weeks later the tide changes and they believe the exact opposite and never even have a qualm about being hypocrisy or apologizing, because their goal, they have their goal set on an end game. They want to win their political race, whatever they're trying to fight for, or whatever they're trying to promote. Their goal is winning it. And so if it one day they say this, and the next day they say something completely opposite, and we think, look at the hypocrisy there of what they're saying. The reason there it doesn't bother them is because being isn't important to them. It's winning the goal that they're shooting for is important to them. And that same spirit of getting to our goal fits real nicely in religion. That's why people can just seem to be completely opposite of what they were saying a few weeks ago and not have any twinge of guilt, not have any problem with it at all, because their judgment has been based on their end goal. If getting to heaven is your end goal, judgment really doesn't matter to you at all. It just can flip-flop, because whatever gets you to your end goal is all you really care about. Sometimes our goal, you know, our perception, you know, we've talked a lot about the idea of who God is. And God gave His Son not so that He could see Him beat up and crucified so He could forgive, but He gave Him knowing that those things would happen so that we could be set free from the bondage. You know, our ideas about God affect our judgment. You know, if we think that God is just a just God and He's going to punish every little thing that we do and everything is just going to be right, our judgment is going to be based on that concept of a God, not the concept of the God who's full of grace, mercy, not just so He can overlook everything, but it's that mercy and that grace is so that we can be what He wants us to be. That wisdom, that judgment that He has and is free so that we can be what He wants us to be. Our judgment, just in some practical things, you know, as we deal with each other, is where we get the chance or we get the opportunity to apply judgment, to apply wisdom. You know, a lot of times, just in our dealing with each other, there's conflicts, there's problems. you're given an opportunity to grow in wisdom. You know, it looks like a problem to us. It looks like a big deal to us. But actually, it's just God giving us an opportunity. Here's a little wisdom, if you'll take it. If you don't get so bent out of shape that you won't hear it. If you don't get so set in your way, there's a little wisdom here. Oh, we just see a problem. But he's trying to give us an opportunity to have some judgment. Just to set back and not be swayed with our decisions and our judgments by our emotions or by whatever's the most powerful force in the room, but just to step back and say, I need to think about this just a minute. That's probably the wisest words that a person can say. It isn't what we want to hear. You know, whenever there's a storm right in front of us and it's just I better think about this just a minute. Because after the storm passes and then we make a decision and it's a good one, it will prove the storm doesn't even matter anymore. But if we make a dumb one right during the storm because we have to make a decision right now, there'll be another storm, and we'll get an opportunity to make another dumb decision pretty soon. Being wise in our judgments. You know, a lot of times, I've just seen this before, and people asking for help or something. We ask someone for help, and then we're mad if they don't give us the help we want. You know, if we believe that it's a free will choice for someone to do something, so when we ask them, don't get all bent out of shape if they don't go along with it. We asked them. We didn't tell them that they had to do it. You know, we can get mad if we tell someone to do something because they won't listen to me. Then we can get mad about that, foolishly. Because who are we to tell somebody something or think that somebody has to listen to me? You know, God is not a tyrant. He gives us the choice. And if we want to be like God, when we give someone a choice to do something, we got to be big enough to let them say no. And let it lay at that. You know, look at, okay, they said no. Okay, wait till they want something. We could do that. Or we could be wisdom and just be ready to do our part whatever, whenever. If it's possible, whatever lies within you, just do it. It's not about we're not trying to keep everybody balanced. This person pretty needy. This person isn't. So we get tired of this person being needy. Well, just thank God that you're not that needy person. They wouldn't want to be if they had the chance or had the opportunity. You know, it just seems that there's people that are a lot more needy. Well, that just gives us that much more opportunity to be patient and be helpful. Switch yourself with the other person once in a while. In our thinking about things, You know, if it just, if we can't make a decision, try to slip their moccasins on. The Indians said, don't criticize a man until you walked a mile in his moccasins. Put their shoes on for a little while when you're making your decisions. That would help us a lot towards wisdom. That would help us a lot in love your neighbor as yourself. Most of the times when we're looking at our neighbor, we're looking at him through our eyes and our glasses, whether they're magnified or whatever. Instead of looking at our neighbor like, would I want to be walking around in his shoes? And if I was in his shoes, what would I need? What would be a blessing? See, the wisdom of the Lord that's out there, it's there, but it just goes right over our heads most of the time. It's so simple. You know, Jesus didn't come whenever we read his words and hear what he said. He wasn't speaking with $3 words, trying to confuse people or dazzle with them. He spoke to people like they were children, not looking down on them, but the simplicity of what he said. May the Lord give us wisdom and good judgment. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock. God bless y'all. All right, peace.